broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Ground zero is hallowed ground. Two blocks away, first of all, is not.
I think it speaks to the worst in terms of politics.
At some point, it appears to be so frustrating. The mom may have yelled.
On one hand, he was the perfect medical student. Why did we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
Ball tap.
Famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch and where we take you through the looking glass every night here of news talk, reality, and beyond. In its 20th year of doing the kind of radio nobody else has still been able to figure out how to do. That's us, Phil Hendry show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up tonight, in our first hour, we're going to talk about this flight attendant that took away a baby from a mother who was slapping the baby on a Southwest Airlines flight. Did you see that? The mother was slapping this baby across the face, and the flight attendant on Southwest, she took the baby, and the people are applauding this act and the air marshal that was there. In fact, we're going to hear his comments in a moment. Later on, we have Brass Villanueva from Los Malos, a Latino male empowerment organization, I think is the actual purpose of this group. But he's going to be talking about Ground Zero, the mosque at Ground Zero. But first, our number, 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget our affiliate Spotlight. Tonight, we're very happy to talk to you about San Diego's KFMB. They're with us. They've been with us a long time, 760 AM, and in Reno, Nevada, KBZZ, 1270 AM, and philhenryshow.com. For downloadable archive shows, downloadable news shows. We've got three separate podcasts available through iTunes and other places like that. You can watch right now a live streaming video of our show. You can watch a live streaming video and listen to the audio as well of our show right now. Man, we are like interactive, multimedia, all over the planet. Just, it's amazing. And looking at me on TV or looking at me on a camera, well, that's worth the price of admission just to see if you can get through the first half hour with my kisser and the stuff you're about to witness, if you haven't seen it before and you're watching right now. So go to philhenryshow.com. All right, we're going to get Margaret Gray on the line to talk about this because she is doing a column on this in her newspaper, The Syndicate, actually, the Dicklin Syndicate, tomorrow morning. Her column is called A Little Bird Told Me. And Margaret, before we talk to you, I've got some audio. Have you heard this?
Yes, I did hear the air marshal, Phil, and I'm going to be very interested in hearing tomorrow or the next day what their explanation is, because I don't think that the explanation that they've given is going to ring very true with a lot of money.
All right. Well, first off, here is the airport chief, police chief, Marshal Katz. So he's not really an air marshal. I think I said he was an air marshal because I got faked out by his name. How about that? Actually, his name is Marshal Katz. He's the chief of the airport police there. Wherever this was, man, if this was at Burbank. No, it was in Albuquerque, Albuquerque International Airport. And he talks about the fact that he supports the flight attendant's decision in this incident.
At some point, it appears to be so frustrating. The mom may have yelled and may have even slapped the baby. It was a solid move on the part of the flight attendant to take custody of the child. It neutralized the situation. It calmed everybody down.
All right, now, Margaret, what the situation that he's describing was the following thing. This baby was being slapped across the face by its mother as the mother was attempting to get the baby to stop crying. Now, when the plane landed in Albuquerque, the family was met by police. A Southwest Airlines spokeswoman told ABC that the local authorities were called out of precaution for the child. So there was an abundance of concern on the part of Southwest, the flight attendant, the officials on board. According to a report from Albuquerque police, the parents were trying to get their 13-month-old daughter to stop crying when the flight attendant, Beverly McCurley, intervened. She informed me several passengers had reported that a female subject traveling with a baby and her husband had been observed striking the child on the face in an attempt to get the child to stop crying.
Well, you know, Phil, this is a very interesting, and it's one of the wonderful things about writing a newspaper column, although I don't really, I'm not a big fan of writing columns like this, because I'm a mother. I've had a baby. I've raised a son to adolescence. There are a lot of mothers listening right now. I don't know how many are listening right now that have had babies and have traveled with them. And that is key, because if you've traveled by way of air with your newborn, you are a woman who right away knows. You've got a lot of people around you, and this is a post 9/11 world that we live in, so you've got an awful lot of people trying to sleep. You've got an awful lot of people who are ready to go to another flight attendant or to someone else on the plane and say that I am being disturbed by this child. You're very self-conscious, Phil, when you're traveling with a baby. You know that the child is keeping people awake. And it's one of those times, and I have to tell you, I used to tell Frank this when I was traveling, and we had Jason Jay with us. It was one of those times when you'd say, you know, I almost wish I hadn't had this baby, or I wish I could just, have left him at the airport or something, because you immediately become far more appreciative of the feelings of others when you're in that situation.
Well, you're appreciative of the feelings of others. Your baby's in distress, right?
No, the baby's not in distress. The baby is going through these normal biorhythmic or biological or biochemical changes that happen to all of us when we are flying. But it's an infant, and the infant doesn't know what's happening to itself. So you're balancing between the needs of an infant that you know are not that serious, between those needs and the needs of the passengers around you who are looking at you. They are not getting rest. They're getting more and more perturbed. In this post 9/11 world that we fly in, Phil, you could have one or two of them ready to go to the main flight attendant and reporting a disturbance. That's something that is going to force a situation in the aircraft. I don't know, in some serious instances, the pilot can decide to put the plane down and have you put off. You don't want that.
Well, if you've got a baby that's crying, and I imagine that this is something that is very common, I've flown a lot. I've heard babies crying.
That is exactly my point. You've heard babies crying and you haven't enjoyed it, have you?
Well, no, it's not that I haven't enjoyed it. I haven't enjoyed it, and it's loud. But I didn't know that it was such a disturbance that they could put you off the aircraft.
After 9/11, yes. After 9/11.
After 9/11.
If you're traveling with an infant that you cannot control, the pilot and the flight crew do have the option of putting the craft down at the nearest most available location and literally putting you off the airplane. That's what that woman was fearing. And so I think that what we need to do here, Phil, is get beyond the headline and get beyond the all of the, I don't know, hypersensitivity, I think, for this infant and for this flight attendant. Because we all know what happens when you are overly sensitive to a flight attendant. Look at this Stephen Slater.
You know, well, that was Stephen Slater. What, you mean the guy that ran off the plane?
Right. We first thought that he was a big hero, and now we realize that he might have been a part of the problem and was most likely, or at least in the words of some people, he could very well have been under the influence of alcohol or pills. What was this flight attendant thinking when she went over to a woman that was doing what mothers do? And again, this is something else I want to stress. When you have an infant that is not going to sleep, when you have an infant that is making these kinds of noises, you're going to find yourself, and it's a very natural thing to do, to try and get that baby to be quiet. And so, yes, your hand goes across the face. You're not hitting the child all that hard.
But you are slapping the baby. You're saying that this is a normal reaction that a mother's going to have.
This is a very normal reaction. I'm talking about slapping the baby about, and I don't know if you can hear this. I'm slapping my own thigh, Phil. It doesn't hurt. It's about as hard as you would slap them on the bum or something like that. It's not hurting them. It's slapping the child hard enough so that the eyes open a little bit, because babies will be crying, and when they're crying, their eyes are closed. You need to slap the face hard enough so that the eyes open And there is a look on the baby's face like, what did you just do? There's a look of surprise. So that gets the child's attention.
Well, what about in the instance of this family where the woman kept slapping and slapping and slapping, and it wasn't getting the baby to quiet down? Don't you think the flight attendant should then intercede?
No, what was wrong there was the husband was interceding. What they needed to do, and I think if there had been any other mothers on that plane who'd been used to traveling with infants while on business and flying, they needed to let that mother just get that situation under control. Sometimes it will take two or three or four, and sometimes you have to do what is called, it's the Daigle repetition. And Dr. Daigle was a pediatrician who talked about the repetition of this contact. And to do that, and to do it in such a way so you're not harming the child, but you are getting the child to quiet down.
What is it? It's called the Daigle repetition, right?
Mark Daigle was a pediatrician who was tremendous, and a lot of women are familiar with his work. The repetition is simply to strike the child's face in a fanning motion until the child begins to quiet down. And for a flight attendant to intercede to remove that child from that woman's lap, I honestly don't know how that woman kept her cool. I have to be honest with you, I would not have been. I would not have been that calm.
All right, Margaret Gray has joined us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about the flight attendant for Southwest Airlines that took this child from its mother. The mother had been slapping this baby on the face, and she was slapping the baby on the face because the baby just would not quiet down. 877-876-PHIL. Now, you're talking about a mother who is frightened, so you're taking the side of this mother, you know.
Well, Phil, it's interesting. People are going to say, well, you're taking the side of a woman that was abusing a child. No, she was not, Phil. Every woman knows that there is traveling with a child while you're flying. There certainly are moments when you're going to use some kind of a corporal attitude. It's not punishment. You don't punish a child that small. But what you do is you create a relationship that says essentially this: I need for this child to quiet down. I'm going to have to use some kind of a pain therapy to do that. If I see a flight attendant or another passenger try to stop me from doing that, all you're doing is making the situation worse. And so that when that mother got back on another plane, there's no question that she continued slapping that child, only much harder. And we don't need that film. The intercession is what we're against.
All right. I don't know anything about this.
Well, I know you don't. You need to do a lot of men.
No, I understand that. And I didn't know that slapping the face of a baby, and since it's not corporal punishment, it's more a therapy to get a crying baby to be quiet. We're talking about two different things here, at least. Margaret Gray has joined us. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Southwest Airlines taking this infant from its mother as she was slapping the infant's face and apparently not understanding that this is a technique used by a lot of mothers that travel with babies, that do travel with infants, to get the child to be quiet so that at post 9/11 she's not going to be put off the aircraft. Southwest didn't understand this, took the baby away from this mother, and that was the situation. Margaret Gray with us, and she has traveled with her son, and she says that there is a pediatric technique whereby you do kind of slap the child's face a number of times until you get its attention, and then it quiets down. And the airline attendant interfered with this. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Coming up next hour, Brass, Phil, and Aweva talking about the Ground Zero Mosque. But more ahead with Margaret Gray. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I just love your show.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Bill Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray from the nationally syndicated column A Little Bird Told Me, joining us here. 877-876-PHIL. Your column not too long ago, you talked about And I didn't agree with it. I don't know if I still do, but I thought it was a very interesting point of view. You said that flight attendants, that airlines, that they all have what you call, they've got a hero complex after 9/11.
Absolutely.
What? How does that apply here?
It applies here, Phil, simply because there's a mother traveling. She is with her baby. The baby is crying. She's trying to get it to stop crying. There are travelers that are trying to sleep. There are people that are being irritated. You know that if the baby causes too much of a commotion, it could very well put you, your baby, and your husband off the plane because of some kind of a disturbance. These flight attendants will walk over while you are attempting this modification that we're talking about, which is simply slapping the child's face. And, Phil, there is a behavioral hue. And what I mean by that is this. A baby's face is going to turn red if you slap the cheeks. You don't want to slap the child so hard, obviously, that the face has turned a deep red. But there is a behavioral hue that Dr. Daigle speaks of. You slap the face of the child if you have the book with you, if you have the chart with you. You compare the behavioral hue in the chart to the color of the child's cheek. And when it gets to that redness, you know that the child is eventually going to drop off to sleep. But no mother is going to have the opportunity to do that when a flight attendant who is looking to be as famous as one of those flight attendants during 9/11.
Oh, my God. Margaret, those people died, okay?
Well, again, this is the, what I'm saying, this is the hero complex. She's going to jump in, she's going to keep this mother from doing what she needs to do, which is applying this behavioral modification slap and the fanning motion that Dr. Daigle talks about. And so everyone loves her, and they think she's the greatest thing since United 93. And meanwhile, there's a whole bunch of people that are not going to get any sleep. Because this child is going to go up front with the flight attendant and keep right on screaming.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. There's a lot of very, very interesting things you're talking about there, and I'm not familiar with a lot of them. Margaret's talking about mothers that fly with their children as infants. It's a rare group of people, but she says that slapping that child to keep it quiet or to quiet it down is not unusual. Here is Joyce in Norfolk, Virginia, listening on WTAR. Joyce, go ahead. You're on with Margaret Gray.
Oh, yes, Phil. Well, I just want to say to Margaret that I'm a child of the 60s. I was raised in the early 60s. And I'm a black woman, and we believe in chastising our children, spanking. But
absolutely.
One thing we never did.
Absolutely.
One thing that we never did.
I'm with you.
One thing that we never did was strike a child in the face. You can chastise a child by hitting them smacking them on the back of their hand, or even on the side, on their thigh. There's no reason to ever hit a child in their face.
Well, but you see, when you say you're a child of the 60s, I am too. But I have adhered to some of the more modern techniques that have been proven worthwhile. And all I'm saying is this. If I'm slapping my child across the face, what business is it of a flight attendant to come and remove my own child from my lap while I'm engaged in this behavior modification?
Well,
see what I'm saying?
For one thing, you shouldn't smack a child in the face. That is child abuse.
No. It's not a slap. It is a fanning motion. You're trying to get the face red. You're trying to get the child's face to a level of red.
You're slapping the child so the child's face is turning red. And I think what Joyce is asking, is this painful for the child?
Well, that's really not the question to ask. Is it beginning to normalize the nervous system of that child? That's the question. Is it painful? Perhaps. But is it normalizing?
The child can experience pain by being smacked on the back of his hand.
That's the best way to do it, though. You have to do the face because that's where the blood is. And when you slap the face repeatedly and you deepen the red of that hue, and
so, hold on, Margaret. A woman is looking at some chart of red.
That's correct.
And she's slapping a kid's face until it gets that red?
That is, first of all, Phil, I'm a mother. I love my child.
That sounds like
Joyce loves her child.
That sounds like sick pleasure.
I beg your pardon.
That is ridiculous.
I beg your pardon. I'm talking about trying to keep a kid quiet so other people can sleep. Otherwise, post 9/11, guess what, Joyce? We get put off the aircraft.
Well, I've never heard of anybody
why don't you just knock the kid out?
That's child abuse. That's brain damage right there. That's what you would have me do.
Damage
the child's brain? No. I'm afraid that what you need to do is understand the technique. And knocking a child out kills brain cells.
I think you have a problem.
I don't think so.
All right. I appreciate very much your call, ma'am. This is a controversial thing. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Because I really like that.
Well,
Margaret Gray back here with us.
But I just not to interrupt, Phil, but I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to get another band, I think. But those the three boys that played in the FreeCreditReport.com commercial have been fired. They're getting a new.
All right, I know, but I got to move on here, all right?
I understand.
All right. We're talking to Margaret Gray about the flight attendant that took a baby away from its mother. The mother was slapping the child. You say, Margaret, that this is a standard technique for a lot of women who fly with very, very young children, very, very young infants.
Let me put it to you this way, and I say this with the greatest of respect to the audience, but let me ask you a question. When you were a baby, do you remember being circumcised?
No, I do not.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So that when you are using this Daigle technique, which is the forehand, backhand, across a baby's face until the face turns a hue of red that indicates emotional equilibrium. What you're doing really is simply applying a technique. You're not punishing the child. I don't really know if the child feels pain. I doubt it.
There are a lot of people that say that the memory of the pain of circumcision stays with an individual, even though they don't remember it, that they've blotted it out. You know.
But the point is, if you've blotted it out, you don't remember the pain, so it doesn't. It hasn't stayed with you. If I'm slapping a baby across the face, and the alternative is having the aircraft land, having an air marshal come on board, and having myself and my infant son put off the aircraft because we have violated post 9/11 air rules, I think the choice is clear of any mother. You have to slap that kid's face until it shuts its mouth, and I
Well, but now it sounds to me like there's anger involved. See, that's what scares me.
No, there's no anger, Phil.
When you say you got to slap that kid's face till it shuts its mouth, it sounds like now there is an emotion involved. The emotion is anger. That scares me a little bit, and that's the only thing I'm concerned with. 877-876-PHIL. Hold on, Margaret. I want to get some phone calls in here. Let's talk to Lauren. Lauren, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Margaret Gray. We're talking about the mother that slapped her infant on this Albuquerque-bound Southwest aircraft. Go ahead, Lauren.
I just want to say that I completely disagree with Margaret. I'm a mother of three children. I've traveled with my children before. And I think when you're traveling with a child, that you are concerned about the other people on the plane.
I'm having a hard time hearing the caller. I'm having a hard time.
Yeah, your phone was breaking up a little, Lauren. Why don't you repeat that for us, okay?
Can you hear me now?
Very difficult. I can hear you now, dear. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I completely disagree with that. I think that when you're flying or traveling with a child, yes, you are concerned about some other people sleeping, but I think that there are other measures you can take before you slap the baby, particularly because a lot of people understand that that's what babies do. They cry, and, you know, with the pressure on the plane and everything, the baby's going to cry, and you know when you get on the plane that you're going to cry.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But at some point, you have a right to neutralize that. And if those techniques you're talking about, I know the ones you're talking about, apple juice, getting the jaw moving, getting the inner ear moving. But when those fail, and then you have to go to the behavioral modification, where you're slapping the face repeatedly, and a flight attendant walks over and says, oh, I think I'd like my name in a newspaper tomorrow. I think I'll take your kid.
You don't think that was the flight attendant's thought process, do you?
I don't know. I don't know about these flight attendants, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't think that the flight attendant should have interceded like that. However,
absolutely.
However, I totally disagree with slapping a baby in the face. I think you should get out some toys, try some milk, get up, walk around. you know, there are other things that you can do without slapping your child in the face.
Well, that, but you did that say really that, you did say that when push came to shove, you do agree with the face slapping. That's what I thought.
Well,
I thought I heard the lady say.
In moderation, I think that perhaps she might have done it just out of instinct because she was really, you know, in a pickle. But I don't think that an infant should be, maybe an older child.
Yeah.
I do agree with
one
that.
Well, one of the things, well, one of the things, we're talking about this fanning motion where your arm is going in a circular, almost a windmill motion. Now, a lot of people get upset with that because they say, oh, my God, that sounds horrible. But no, it isn't. The infant's face is at the extent of your arm. You're windmilling your arm and slapping the face repeatedly.
Right.
And you're doing this probably anywhere from 20 to 30 times. Now, a lot of people...
20 to 30, you're slapping the kid 20 to 30 times?
That's a lot to me. That's a lot.
Really, is that compared to what? Compared to being kicked off the aircraft? I don't think so.
All right, well, let's get another phone call. Thank you very much. Yeah, yeah, Lauren, go ahead, and then we've got to take another call.
Okay.
Go ahead, and then we have to take another call. Yeah, she's gone. All right. What, Margaret, what are you saying?
What do you mean, what am I saying?
You're saying you windmill the arm?
At a full extension, the arm windmills, yes. People hear that, and they say, oh, my God, what do you think you're doing? You're going to take the face. You're going to take the skin right off the face of that child. No, you're not. No, you're not. You know, it's very funny. Pete Townsend used to windmill the strings of his guitar. And I don't ever remember Pete Townsend wearing down the metal of a guitar string to the point where it snapped as the result of that.
Yeah, but he lost his fingertips.
I'm not talking about that.
All right. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Laura in Portland, Oregon. Laura, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Thanks. I've been listening to this.
Yes.
And I'm a mother of two children, and I am appalled this woman is advocating this type of behavioral modification. First of all, if there's a 13-month-old child, you cannot reason with them. And yes, I suppose you could do a lot to a child
and
take them to change their behavior. But I don't advocate that. I think it's a terrible way to treat a child. You comfort
them. Well, you just said that you can't, you're not going to reason with the child, so you have to slap it. You're not going to reason with it.
You don't have to slap it. I never slapped my child. I can't believe that you would advocate that, especially with young mothers living.
Did you travel on aircraft? Did you travel on aircraft a lot with infants?
I did. And if you travel with
every
infants,
day?
Then you know that you go to the restroom and keep them in there, that you help ask enlist other passengers to help you comfort
them. And if someone else wants to use the restroom, what do? You have to leave the restroom at some point.
You have the child there. There is not a circumstance that I can ever recall or ever envision that it would be okay to slap a 13-month-old child. That is still an infant. It's still a baby. I cannot believe that you would advocate that with young mothers listening.
I don't know when she came in on the conversation. I'm saying, if you've got a nervous husband sitting next to you, screaming at you to stop it, or he's afraid of flying or something, you've got passengers staring at you as if they're going to get up and throw you out of the plane. I mean, you've got a lot going on. And now what else? You've got this child. Using a windmilling motion with the hand, you can slap that kid.
Margaret, I'm sorry.
I beg your pardon?
But your job as a mother is to put your child first. Your child becomes...
Absolutely.
...or your husband. Your child comes...
To a point.
...after.
To a point.
And if you need help, then you ask for help.
I don't need help. That's the point I'm trying to make here. I've got passengers that are going to commit a violent act against me. I've got a husband
ridiculous.
That is screaming.
That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't. No, I beg your pardon.
What country you live in? But if you live in the U.S.,
have you?
I can imagine the whole plane would go after somebody that was going after a mother with a child like that. That's ridiculous.
No. I'm sorry, but I don't know. Post 9/11. Now we have all. The world has changed since after 9/11. I understand what you're saying. We don't anticipate irregular behavior.
I don't think you do. You put that child first, and you care for that child. And if it requires that the plane lands because that child's in extreme distress and the pilot deems it necessary, well, then that's up to the pilot. But you do not.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that. I don't want to be put off that aircraft.
But that's not your primary concern. Your primary concern is caring for that child.
Is the child. Is the baby, yeah. And
Phil, let me ask you something. You're a husband, and since Laura's saying this, and all the men listening, I'd like to say one thing. How do you guys like... So here's Laura saying, you guys could have a heart attack and die.
No,
she's going to.
That's ridiculous.
Well, let me. If the baby is, if the baby's screaming so loud that your husband is already nervous from flying and he has a coronary, are you proud of yourself?
No, if that husband
wait a minute.
Nervous about flying, then you leave the baby at home.
Hold on. You've got a whole lot of things. You got a nervous husband. You got a baby that's crying. You know.
This is what a lot of women have to deal with: a nervous husband, the passengers that are ready to come out of their seats and make an example out of you and any woman that comes after you.
You don't slap the baby. You give the husband a cocktail, or you give the husband a Valium.
Well, I'm trying to get the child to shut up so that I can calm passengers, a husband, and yes. Help
your
that infant sleep.
To calm the passengers. That's the stewardess's job.
That's the stewardess's job.
Flight attendant's the term. But I will tell you, I understand what you're saying, but you're saying, in a perfect world, I've got a Valium. In a perfect world,
no.
I have this, and I have that. I don't have those things. All I have is my hand. I have my hand. I have the
then
kid.
You pat that baby.
And I've got a problem, and I've got to slap it.
I've got to slap it until it's ridiculous.
All right.
The idea
I've got to slap it till it shuts up.
Mother?
No, that Margaret, we're talking about the well-being of a lot of people. Thank you very much for your call, Laura. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. You know, I think you misunderstood.
No, I didn't misunderstand. She said the husband comes second, the pastors come second. How do you like the gall?
Well, what, Margaret?
That is the first time I've ever heard a woman have the. I got to tell you something. I admire that. That's a woman that has the honesty to say that you men out there, you fathers, you husbands, you can die and you can fall on the floor and turn blue. She's not going to apply the Daigle method. She's not going to get out the behavioral hue chart. She's going to let the kid scream and spit. To my way of thinking, Phil, I don't live like that. I wasn't brought up that way.
Well, Margaret, okay, I have to admire you. You want to calm the husband down, you want to calm the crowd down, and then the baby comes last.
The baby doesn't come last. I'm calming him down. I'm calming the audio, the crowd, the passengers.
Right.
And yes, and then I apply the Daigle-Hue modification. I slap in that windmill fashion. And that's the other thing. You have to stand up to do that. And I don't think a lot of people are understanding. Being a mother traveling with a child, standing up, using that windmill motion to slap that child, and really you do get emotional. You are saying to yourself, you're saying, and to anyone that will listen, you're saying, would you please shut it up? Shut your mouth. It is very emotional.
All right. 877. The more I hear about this Daigle modification, though, here is Susan. Go ahead, Susan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Susan? Oh, I didn't even. Sorry, Susan. There she is. Go ahead, Susan.
I just wanted to say that I completely disagree with what Margaret is saying. I'm a mother of a 3-year-old and a 15-month-old, and slapping
a child. You travel with them?
I have traveled, not on a plane, but I've been in enclosed spaces with them. And honestly, if they're distressed, I think slapping a child in any situation is only going to escalate how that child feels. It's not going to calm them down. It's not going to make them feel better. I mean, distraction, seeing a
child. But
song,
you haven't traveled with them.
Something.
Yeah.
Doing something a little bit different that's in a more positive manner, I think, would be a better solution than slapping a child. And not only that, but who's to say that this passenger even knew about the Daigle method? I've read multiple parent books over my, you know, course of being a mother for 3 years. I've read baby books, and I've never heard of this method before. So I can guarantee
I asked you originally. I said, do you travel? Do you? Yes, dear, but do you fly? I asked you, do you fly with your children regularly? You said, no. This is something that mothers that fly regularly with the.
I've never flown with my kids, but I've been in situations where my kids have been, you know, in distress or acting in a way that other people probably wouldn't appreciate. And, of course, when you're in a closed space, you are mindful of those things. But I don't think in any situation, whether you're on a plane, a bus, a train, in a car, in a mall, slapping a child, especially that young, is going to do anything beneficial but just make the child more upset and thus more angry.
Let me tell you about my sister. Let me tell you about my sister, Irene. My sister Irene and I were traveling. Now, her daughter is the same age as my son. We were traveling with her daughter. She adheres to your method, which is to sing a song. She started to sing to her daughter, and I don't know, it was the most embarrassing thing you'd ever heard in your life. You wanted to, she was my own sister, and I wanted to knock her out. Do you know what that's like?
That, though. It's not about that, though. It's about calming the child down to relax
what are you talking about?
For the baby. It's about soothing a child.
If she has a voice that is even more disturbing than the baby.
Oh, no, I can't sing to save my life, but you know what? If it came down to my child, I would sing in front of a million people if it would calm my child down to make them happy.
And what if it made people even more irritated listening to you than hearing your child sing? Yeah, that would
you know what? I think people would rather listen to someone sing than a child scream personally. Not only that, but you could whisper in your child's ear. Just whisper in the ear.
I try to back
and whisper in their ear.
What are you saying, Margaret? You're saying your sister Irene sang so poorly?
It was. Phil, I understand the well-being of children, and I do agree very, very much with Susan. But my sister Irene was singing. Her voice is so bad. And I said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm singing to my daughter." And I said, "No, you're not. You're going to stop before they put us off this aircraft. Before an air marshal walks up to us."
A better mother would sing to their child and relax their child that way and not be afraid of what other people thought about her voice versus slapping their child in public. And not only that, but slapping their child on an airplane, that's only going to make the child more upset. A mother who has the guts to sing that to their child in public is a true mother, first and foremost.
And even if it attracts the attention of an air marshal, your voice is so bad.
Wait
a minute. The air marshal is going to come up to you more if you're slapping your kid. Then if you're singing...
No. You haven't flown as much as me. If you're singing, and you're very lovely, Susan, you sound precious, but I can tell with your accent, you have a very northeastern accent, you probably have a bad voice. I have a good voice because I sang professionally. My sister,
Your child doesn't care about that.
Did you see Reservoir Dogs? Did you see that poor police officer get his ear cut off?
All right. You know what? I don't want to go into that. Thank you very, very much, Susan. Yeah, thank you for your call.
No, there was a scene in that film that poor policeman got his ear cut off. When I heard my sister sing, I wanted to be him. And I don't think I've ever felt that before in my life. Never before in my life have I felt something like that. I wanted to be him. So what I'm saying is the following. I have a beautiful voice. If I could sing to my son and calm him down, I would do that. I couldn't. My son, Jason J. Delmonico, demanded, even as a child, the very, very best. So even if I sang something... I'll give an example right now.
Well, we got to take a break, okay?
Let me give you an example. If I sang something like... Oh, I don't know. The Copacabana. He would never stop screaming. The screaming would never end.
All right, Margaret Gray with us, and we talk about the woman that was slapping her baby on the plane, and she is saying that many mothers engage in what's called the Daigle technique, which is to slap a baby repeatedly because it is behavioral modification. So that flight attendant didn't understand that. The flight attendant took that infant away. The flight attendant is now a big hero in much the same way that Steven Slater was, and in 24 hours we're going to find out that the flight attendant maybe wasn't such a hero, that maybe she was, in Margaret's mind, trying to be some big 9/11 hero. I don't know. 877-876-PHIL. Do you slap your kid to keep your child quiet on an aircraft? 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Phil Hendry Show here. Now, Margaret, I know that we've been talking here. You have the song here. What is this thing called?
Now, here's a lullaby. You can sing this to Charlie. You can sing this. Did Bud put it on?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I hear it. All right. Now, this is leaving on a jet plane. Bags are packed. I'm ready to go. I'm standing. You know, I never liked the way she sang this.
It's Mary Travers.
Yeah, I know who it is. I think she treated this song all wrong, but this is a lullaby for a child. Early morning. You fade the microphone in and out like this. See? Already I'm so lonesome. Still, do you see them cry?
Well, now I...
We you get out of here with that? What is that supposed to mean?
I went into a... Oh, my God. You've never heard of a baseline.
A baseline? Well, now I...
Now I've got to do it all over again. Phil, I don't tell you how to do a bad radio show. Don't tell me how to sing...
Badly?
No. Gooder. I didn't even say that. Here we go.
Sing this to a baby.
No, you sing it to the captain. God, what an it. It's a song on.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Door. Already I'm so lonesome. See, she's butchering it. Goodbye. Well, you know what? At this point, this is what I do to the kid. Throw it down some stairs. Here. Bye, baby. Bye.
So kiss me and smile for me.
Tell bye, baby.
Me you wait for me. Hold me like you.
Ooh, baby go boom.
What an animal.
Phil and...
Nice board work.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
On one hand, he was the perfect medical student, a guy engaged to a beautiful woman.
Well, she didn't have, for someone who's just...
I don't think that the government should interfere in people's religion.
This is the best that we can do in America. This is what we want to focus on.
So
this
I watched the basketball game last night.
Nappy is racial.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where bitches are truth. What the hell is... Figure that one out. Where truth is our bitch. And every night we take you through the looking glass and beyond. Coming up this hour, Mr. Brass Villanueva joins us from Los Malos to talk about the GOP's criticism of Barack Obama over the Ground Zero Mosque. The GOP, the Republican Party has said that the president has been insensitive. More to come as well. The best fast food in America. 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com. At that website is the largest repository of great radio in the history of the world. At that website is the largest repository of probably of radio downloads. It is a modern miracle of science, man, our radio show. You can go over to PhilHendryShow.com and watch live streaming video of the show right now, live streaming audio of the show. You can download the show tomorrow. You can download a various podcast that we have. We're making our shows downloadable all the time, all of our archive stuff. So we want you to be a part of what's really happening in the media right now, and that is that the Internet, the World Wide Web, is every bit as much as interesting, if not more so, than anything else, and we want you to take a part of it. Join us over there, philhendryshow.com, and get a backstage pass. All right. The GOP, and we have Brass Villanueva, who will be joining us in just a second. The GOP has called Barack Obama, President Obama, insensitive over his stand on the mosque at Ground Zero. Republican candidates around the country seized on President Barack Obama's support for the right of Muslims to build a mosque near Ground Zero, assailing him as an elitist who is insensitive to the families of the September the 11th victims. From state houses to state fairs on Tuesday, Republican incumbents and challengers unleashed an almost unified line of criticism against the president days after he forcefully defended the construction of a $100 million Islamic center two blocks from the site of the 2001 terror attacks. Last Friday, President Obama made this statement.
Nappy is racial.
No, yes, he did out of here, will you, bud?
What?
Don't ever do that or I'll smack you.
I thought it'd be funny.
It ain't funny. Last Friday, President Obama defended the Ground Zero Mosque.
Ground Zero is indeed hallowed ground. But let me be clear. As a citizen and as president, I believe that Muslims have the right to practice their religion as everyone else in this country. And that includes the right to build a place of worship in a community center on private property in Lower Manhattan in accordance with local laws and ordinances.
Okay. The president also said that this is an issue of religious freedom.
This is America. And our commitment to religious freedom must be unshakable. The principle that people of all faiths are welcome in this country and that they will not be treated differently by their government is essential to who we are. The writ of the founders must endure.
All right, over the weekend, while vacationing in Florida, President Obama backtracked a bit on his earlier defense of the mosque.
I was not commenting, and I will not comment on the wisdom of making a decision to put a mosque there. I was commenting very specifically on the right that people have that dates back to our founding. That's what our country is about.
Well, I don't know if that's backtracking. That's clarifying. Representative Jerry Nadler of New York defends the Ground Zero Mosque in an interview on CNN.
Ground Zero is hallowed ground. Two blocks away, first of all, is not so hallowed ground. We should not, government officials should not be in a position of pressuring people where to build their mosque or their church or whatever. As much as I respect the sensitivities of people, there's a fundamental mistake behind it. And that is, how can you, and I can quote any number of some of the people who've commented on it, and what they're saying essentially is, how can you put a mosque there when, after all, Muslims attacked us on 9/11 and this is ripping open a wound? Well, the fallacy is that Al-Qaeda attacked us. Islam did not attack us.
All right. And finally, Mayor Michael Bloomberg spoke yesterday in favor of the mosque, saying if construction doesn't go through, it would be a, quote, sad day for this country.
Barack Obama says building a mosque at Ground Zero
is
about time.
What is that, Jace? That ain't it. Here's Bloomberg. That was, I don't know what the, you know, I'm going to belt you, man, if you don't get the right stuff up there.
Now, that wasn't my fault.
Anyway, here's Mayor Bloomberg.
I don't think that the government should interfere in people's religion, what they believe, who they pray to, where they pray. I do think that a mosque would enhance the cultural diversity of our city, and those kinds of things are good for our city. And if we shout down a mosque and community center because it is two blocks away from the site where freedom was attacked, I think it would be a sad day for America.
I just want to say one thing. We're going to bring on Brass Villanueva now, and he's a young man from Los Malos. These guys, from this guy Nadler to Mayor Bloomberg to President Obama, they all have missed the point. They have completely missed the point. President Obama addressed it briefly when he said, I haven't talked about the wisdom, which is to say that he probably doesn't agree with the wisdom. And what we're talking about here isn't a constitutional issue. We understand the Constitution allows you. We understand that the Constitution says yes. What we were asking for, those of us opposed to this mosque, was a sensitivity to a people, the American people, that this is the wrong time, and yeah, maybe even the wrong place to be putting a mosque. Did Islam attack us? No, but Islamic jihadists did. A religion that, quite frankly, a majority of Americans are not familiar with. We're not saying we shouldn't have jihadists, but we are saying, I don't really know too much about a religion other than the fact that some guys that claim to adhere to it butchered up 3,000 people on TV. Mr. Villanueva, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
What have I just said that you would disagree with?
Well, I think there are a lot of things you just said that I would disagree with. I would disagree, number one, with saying that President Obama, is wrong because, see, our point with Los Malos, who are a empowerment organization for young Latin males, okay, so I'm not Arab, okay, but as a person of color, I have embraced Islam as the religion for people of color, okay. And what President Obama is basically saying is that we've got some people, okay, who are very hypersensitive, okay, and are not showing themselves to be very strong and able to take it, okay, like in my culture, where we're used to, okay, having to absorb a little bit of pain, okay, and having to absorb, okay, a little bit of hardship and having to work our way to a problem. You know, if you have, okay, and you're in jail, okay, and you have to live through, okay, the hardship of being in jail, okay, then you have to suck it up, okay, and America is not looking like a suck it up. And that's why I said that President Obama, when he said that he's not sensitive, and you just said that right now, Mr. Henry, you sound, okay, I'm not saying you do, but, okay, it almost sounds like you, okay, sort of like sissy or something, okay, because...
What do you mean, sissy? You know...
Well, sissy means that, okay, I've been hearing about President Obama, you know, was not sensitive, okay, and about people should be more treated like little babies or something, okay? I'm not, you know, I don't know that says very good things about America, that you got to be treated like your baby, okay, and you got to have, you know, your diaper on and all of that. And
Let's remember what we're talking about here, Mr. Villanueva. We're talking about an event on September the 11th where there was a lot of death. It was murder, cold-blooded murder. All right, and people identify that part of New York with that.
Well, I understand that they identify that part of New York with it, okay, but also another thing is happening in New York now, okay, and that is that somebody wants to put a mosque there, okay, and they want to put a religious learning and a religious teaching center there, okay, and so that's also, okay, a little bit more pain, I guess you would say, that you have to endure. And I just think that America has to recognize, okay, that this mosque, it might be painful, okay, but you can't tell everybody how painful it is. You can't go, you know, ow, this hurts, ow, ow, it hurts, right?
Well, nobody's saying, ow, it hurts.
I disagree, sir. Yes, they are, Mr. Henry. They said that President Obama was not sensitive to people. The Republican Party, the right-wingers, were saying President Obama needs to, okay, like, pretend, you know, be more, you know, like mama. You know, like they need their mama, okay? And I feel that the American people need to send a tougher message to the world, you know, that America talking about the mosque at Ground Zero, and the American people, and I'm second-generation American, it looks like a lot of people being sissy about it. Okay, and it's tradition of my people, of the Hispanic people. I'm an American, but my culture, my people, we weather the storm. We push through. We have to take it. American people are not showing they can take it too good. You have to show that you can take it good, you know.
And so what you're all right. I've listened to what you had to say. So your essential pitch is this: that the more we cry about this Ground Zero mosque, the weaker we look.
I just think it looks bad that Americans are all. I don't want to have a mosque. I don't want to have a mosque. And they sound like I'm babysitting my niece or something, you know, my little cousin, because, okay, the Muslims are on the move, okay?
What do you mean that the Islam is your religion? You're Hispanic.
That's correct.
So your people are from either Mexico, Central America, South America?
I'm Native American and some Spanish.
Okay. So how is Islam your religion?
Islam is the religion of all people of color, whether you're Hispanic or whether you're, Arab or black. If you're colored or like Indian, okay, if you're a colored man or a man of color, okay, Islam is your religion. And the reason is that religion is the religion of rising up, okay, and taking charge. And I think America, okay, in reaction to Islam is acting kind of baby-like. And I don't think they look very strong, you know, and I think that they need to butch it. You know, they say they got to butch it up. If you're against the mosque, you're nothing but... I think it's like a sissy...
And to you, it doesn't strike if people are against the mosque because they're angry.
Well, at some point, you have to say you're all angry. Why don't you just learn how to take it instead of... If you say it's insensitive, that sounds to me like you can't take it, you know.
Take what, man? Take the insult of having a mosque there?
No, you know, just have a mosque there... And say, I can take it. You know, if you hate the mosque, I understand you hate the mosque. But just take, you know, just stand and say, you know what, I hate your mosque, but I can take it. It's just like if someone took a knife, you know, and stuck it in me. I could take that, you know.
You could take, all right, so you could take a knife being stuck in you?
If I had to, yeah. If I had to, yeah.
Yeah. All right, hold on, 877-876-PHIL. So the crying and the complaining about the mosque only shows that Americans are weak. And the crying and complaining about the insensitivity of President Obama shows that Americans are hypersensitive. And that the best way to react to this mosque, according to Mr. Brass Villanueva there of Los Malos, is to take it.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Brass Villanueva here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on whether or not allowing a mosque down there means that we are strong, or allowing a mosque down there means we're weak. He says not allowing the mosque means we're sissies. I don't know. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, man, you messed it up.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here. Brass Villanueva is with the group Los Malos, right, Brass?
That's correct, right.
And this is a Latino, young male Latino empowerment organization.
Yeah, an organization that try and empower young Latino males in the world of, like politics, and community activism, too.
And you're in favor of the mosque at Ground Zero because you think that not allowing the mosque there sends a message of weakness.
Well, look, Mr. Henry, I think that this is a message that is not lost on young Latin males like myself or people of color. And it's not lost on Muslim people, okay? I think it is a message that lost on a generation of Americans. And that is, to use a sports analogy, okay, if you look at a football player playing with a broken leg, okay, if you look at Evander Holyfield, he kept on fighting even after he got his ear bit off by Mike Tyson. But America, okay, is not showing that it can continue with a mosque. It's all crying about it, okay? See what I'm saying?
America's crying about the mosque.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing everybody crying about...
Well, but do you understand the relationship between 9/11 and...
Yes, sir. I've heard it already, sir. With all respect to you, okay, and your listeners, I've already got it about 9/11, okay? What more do you want to say, okay?
You know. Well, I mean, what more do I want to say? 3,000 people are dead as the result of these jihadists. And
yeah, I got that. I understand that.
Okay, you understand that. And that it extended as far as Shanksburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, no, I saw United 93. I seen World Trade Center, okay? I went down to New York, okay? I walked around. I looked, okay, at all of the people, the whole, all that. I mean, there's nothing that I don't understand, okay, about it. So what...
You don't find that to be such a devastating event that you can't understand why people don't want to have a mosque down there?
No, I understand how people could be hurt about it, okay? But I don't understand how they could be so hurt and sensitive and I want to say, okay, like almost crybaby about it, okay?
Crybaby? I mean, you're talking about something that will never be forgotten in the history of this country and will be one of the major events, major acts of terrorism in the history of the world.
Well, but again, Mr. Henry, with the history the way it is, okay, and it changes, okay, we know that there's always going to be something terrible, okay? And so it's better now, okay, to say, I don't want to go through life, people look at me and say, well, there goes that crybaby. There goes America, they're all, you know, we have at our meeting, we will talk about the phenomenon, we don't even have a name for it, this is, and that's like a baby sound. You have to give a baby sound to it because it is so embarrassing.
Well, all right. I don't know that. I think I understand what you're saying.
No, I don't think you do.
Yeah. Well, no. I think I understand. You're saying that we ought to be able to take any kind of assault, and then some. We ought to take the assault, and we ought to take the Muslim mosque, and.
Well, again, look at my people, Hispanic people. We've taken all kinds of abuse. Okay, and we keep fighting back. Okay, but Americans, okay, are all. Yeah, I don't want to. I don't know how to describe it. It's like my little cousin.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is a number. I got to get to a phone call, and then we have a break, and we'll take some more phone calls. Tony in Raleigh, North Carolina, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Brass Villanueva. Go ahead.
Yes. The comment on whether it's wise to build a mosque at Ground Zero, I'm sensitive to that, but I understand what our Constitution was written for. And sometimes things will be accepted, some things will not be accepted. As far as them being Islam, 95% of Islamists are Muslims, are good God-fearing people, and a lot of them here in America are productive citizens. Now, you're going to have a few people in all religions. They're going to be to the far left or far right or the very extreme. And I think those are the people that should be weeded out or targeted as far as people you should look out for or things of that nature. But you shouldn't condemn all Muslims. You should condemn all Christians for
right. I agree with that. I agree with that. I'm saying that we should have the mosque at Ground Zero because a lot of people are being babies about it. You know, just put the mosque up and quit being a baby, you know.
Well, what do you mean baby? Do you think it's babyish to say that people are angry?
I think like a baby can be angry when you don't give it milk, when you don't give it like a nipple. I mean, because that's the way American people are sounding right now, like they didn't get the nipple, you know?
No, and, I don't.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You know? I think,
yeah.
I don't know.
I understand what you're saying, but I think it's a poor choice of words or a lack of to just use the term baby, sissy, or some people need a nipple. What I think is people are sensitive to that. I have loved ones that were in that. And
oh, yeah.
my take on it is no, it's not why I have to put it there. I wouldn't say that. And not in the name of in certain religions.
But you're going to suck it up, though, right? You suck it up and go ahead and take it, right?
Now, that's where we have a disagreement here, whether we're supposed to suck it up and take it. Tony, thank you. I got to take a break, but I appreciate your call. Should the American people suck it up and take the mosque like we're taking a shot of, I don't know, penicillin? 877-876-PHIL or the rabies treatment?
How dare you, man? We need rabies treatment.
Phil Hendry. Famous Bill Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Always here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Also, philhendryshow.com if you want to watch live streaming video of our show as well as listen to live streaming audio of the show. And we have a list of affiliates at philhendryshow.com as well, so you can see where it is that we're being broadcast. We have on the line with us from Los Malos, Brass Villanueva, and we're talking about the mosque at Ground Zero from a different perspective. We've had people on who've supported the mosque, Mr. Villanueva. I don't think I've ever had anybody on the air with me who support the mosque saying that this is something that America needs to just suck up.
No, I would not say that you know, is exactly the way to put it, you know.
Well, I think that's the way you put it.
Well, Mr. Henry, I would say that we all lose jobs. I think everybody listening to your broadcast right now, the people have probably lost their job. And when you lose your job, what's the first thing you think? You think, I lost my job, okay? And that person that got my job, okay, they're better, okay? So I have to embrace the reality, okay, that I'm not as good at that job as that other person who got the job. And so I'm out on the street, okay? Am I supposed to deny that I'm out on the street? In many ways, America's out on the street right now. America lost a job. Mom's going to be there, okay? And we're out on the street, okay? And that's just, and it's our constitution to put us on the street. You know, I mean, I don't want to get into any specific, but if you're in jail, okay, like I have and many people that I know have, there's a lot you have to put up with, okay? You either can relax into it, okay, or fight it, okay, but, you know, you might enjoy, okay?
All right, I don't want to talk about this, man, what happened to you in jail.
I'm not saying it happened to me. I might have happened it on somebody, okay?
Well, I don't care what it is. I don't want to talk about that. But your point is that the mosque at Ground Zero for America is like we all lost a job?
I'm saying, do you say if you lose your job, you're going to be out on the street and say, no, I'm going to go back in and get the... No, they just fired you, okay? So you got to just suck on that, okay, and just sit there on the pavement. And this is where I am now. I'm sitting on the pavement and just be tough about it, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Just be tough, man, and let that mosque go in, and we're just going to have to take the pain.
Take the pain, that's right.
I don't think that's any way to look at it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move on to a phone call in New York City with Calvin in Queens. Calvin, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, well, I would just like to say that, it's like a matter of respect that 9/11 has. You know what I mean? There's a whole lot of respect. A lot of people that died in 9/11, and I feel like, you know, nobody should actually have to suck up to anything. I mean, we can suck up to it, but still we have feelings towards that. You know what I mean? There's people out there who lost a lot of friends, a lot of relatives, and stuff like that. And for this individual to say, like, suck up to it and all that, it's a matter of disrespect, actually.
I just saying what we got to do, you know, as America. I mean, Islam, you know, the mosque is there, you know, and America, just like my people, Hispanic people, we got to take
Well, America is America, brother. I was born and raised in America. I respect America.
Right.
I love America.
Right.
And apparently
right.
you have some beef with America, you know what I'm saying? And,
well,
and never forget
I
where you come from, brother. Never forget where you come from. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sort of come from America,
like,
but my parents.
Like, you got this beef. You got a special beef against America, and they should just handle it.
Let me ask something. Brass, what do you mean you're sort of from America?
Well, my parents are from Central America, so, and I was born here, so I'm not exactly from here.
Yes, you are. You were born here.
Yeah, okay, but...
Yeah, he was born here, so that means you're an American. You just don't want to be
American,
bro. You got problems with America, all right? You know what I mean?
No, I want to be American, but I also want to know that what are we supposed to do, just like everybody's saying, like, I put it this way. Everyone's saying that President Obama is being insensitive. Well, doesn't that make it sound like we're kind of candy-ass about
it?
No,
not at all, not at all, because first of all, it's not his place to be right in the middle of that. You know what I'm saying? That's like a state issue. Let the state deal with that. Let the people of the state vote and ask and see if they want the mosque there. Let them make a vote for it. Vote it. Vote it in or vote it out, one or the other. You understand what I'm saying? That's the way we deal in America with diplomacy. We deal with diplomacy. We vote it in, vote it out. Of course, there's going to be people who don't like the mosque because there's a lot of Muslims and stuff down there. And unfortunately, it falls on the Muslims. But let me tell you something, bro. You can have a mosque anywhere in the world, in any prison in the world, United States. The Muslims get mad respect in prisons. You know that, right? I've been there and I know. But let me tell you.
I know.
You can have it there, but don't put it in a place that's so respectful to, like, the United States of America. Simple as that, bro.
That's the whole point. A lot of people are upset with that.
That's like a form of disrespect. That's like saying, kiss my ass.
That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying about the mosque being there.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I'm just saying at some point you got to, I shouldn't put it this way. Don't you have to just at some point.
I got to take a break. Thank you. Not take a break, but I have to get off the call because the guy dropped the S-bomb there, you know. Thank you very much, Jonathan, for your call. Or Calvin, I should say, for your call.
What'd you do? You cut that brother off.
He said he dropped the S-bomb, so I had to move on, okay? It's nothing against the guy.
Well, I mean, see, but I'm glad you did cut him off because he was not really representing.
What do you mean?
Well, that was an African-American, but he's not, like, Muslim. And puts me off. I don't know how to deal with that. It makes me off balance, you know. And
that was an African American, but not Muslim. So every African American that you talk to,
but anyway, I'm not. You don't understand. I'm talking about how America needs to go ahead and grip the side of the mattress. And just,
No. You heard what that other man said. He agreed with me. Why, he's a black man, but he's not a Muslim, and so that threw you off balance. And what? Just bottom line, we got to grip the side of a mattress. What you're talking about here. You're talking about that mosque as being rape, aren't you?
No, sir, I am not.
Yes, you are. That you've and you know what? You may be right, man. You may be right. You may be saying that the first time was when we got slapped with that 9/11. The second time, shoving that mosque up there, that's rape.
Mr. Henry, now see, you flipped it around.
You said grab the side of the mattress.
I said that sometimes in jail, you know.
Well, I don't want to hear about that. I don't want to hear about your jail experience.
I said it didn't happen to me. I said,
yeah, I know. You happened it on somebody else.
I didn't say that either. You're putting words in my mouth, and probably because I'm a Hispanic, and you don't think I can defend myself or something.
No, I don't. It's not got nothing to do with that. It's just that you are saying some things here that are a little weird. You're saying there's a black guy, but he's not a Muslim, that he agrees with me, and so you're thrown off balance. And what is that about? Here is John in Las Vegas listening on KDON. John, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Love your show. This gentleman, I guess, has been in jail a little too long because he is insensitive and disrespectful.
Oh, there we go again. There we go. That sounds candy-ass to me. I'm insensitive. That sounds like, you know, ow. That's what it sounds like. You're saying. And I'm saying that American people have got to stop with all that. I bet you think you said something original there, huh? Love it or leave it. Man, I've been listening to that for long, love it or leave it. And I think what you need to understand is when you say that that's too sensitive,
The other guy said that calling Charles in Nashville, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Charles.
That's disrespectful. Let's tell it like it is.
Yeah, this is Charles from Nashville, Tennessee. I don't think anybody that wants to put something like that down there where a lot of people got killed there is, I think that's disrespecting what this country stands for. This country stands for freedom. They don't like people that are putting stuff up to cause a lot of problems. That would cause a lot of problems with the people that lost their families there and died. If you have a family that was there and lost their life, you wouldn't want somebody to put something up there to be mocking them about a death.
Don't you think at some point,
guys, way out of
line. Don't you think at some point you need to, at some point, though, you need to just sort of, like, you know, bite the towel and, you know what I mean?
If a person feels like biting a towel, they need to get out of the country and go somewhere else and live. That's about all I got to say.
Don't we have to at some point say, okay, I better just hold my breath and take it?
No, I think you're getting the message of people saying no. They don't want to hold their breath and take it.
Well, I don't understand that. How do you get through life if you don't know how at least once to bite down on a towel and just go, yee? How can I describe?
What did you do? I don't understand.
Hey, come here. Come here, Oscar, come here. Let me have that towel. Now, Mr. Anderson, I'm talking about. Why don't the American people know how to do that?
Because it ain't pleasant, because it's surrender, because it's submission, because it's very, 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 very un-American. Here is Jim in Houston on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, it's un-American, like according to a movie.
No, according to the history. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm a little upset over this 50 comment. You know, I'm a fourth generation that's fought for this country, and this country does not bow down and surrender to everybody that wants to come in here and do whatever they want. Building a mosque at Ground Zero is disrespectful to the family that not only I lost, but several other people lost. Now, what's the problem with them just moving a little bit further away and being done with it?
What's wrong with us just, you know, gritting our teeth, man, just biting down on the rubber on that rubber thing?
Because we're Americans, and Americans tend to fight for what we believe in. That's not
bite down on the rubber thing.
If you ever saw the movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Jack Nicholson at one point has electroshock. Yeah, you see how he took it?
This is
Jack Nicholson. This ain't no movie. What do you mean Jack Nicholson took electroshock?
That is America. You put those electrodes on, we're just like, if we can get through that, you know.
Oh, well, you quit with the movie, okay? All the sound effects.
Well, this man's saying, you're saying that I'm not allowed to, I'm not allowed to have a mosque at Ground Zero because what? It's not American? I say I should have a mosque at Ground Zero just to prove that we can stand there, you know.
And I'm saying it's disrespectful.
Yeah, but
did you lose any family there?
The what?
Did you lose any family there?
Not that I know of. I mean, but I will tell you this.
You know of it?
Well, I don't know.
You think you might care about it?
If I did, I probably would, but I would very much care about it, yes. But I still wouldn't want to not have a mosque there.
You would just bite the towel and go on with it. Then who's not being a man in this situation? The person that's going to bend over and take whatever's given to him?
No.
Or the person that's going
to
stand up for what's right?
I'm saying at some point in life, you have no choice, you know? And
That's wrong. At every time in life, you have a choice. Every time in life, you have a choice.
Well, you could die.
Absolutely.
Then sometimes you accept death. Sometimes you take death over humiliation. You take it over submission. You take it over enslavement. Sometimes death is preferable to that. We're not talking about death. We're simply talking about a mosque, okay?
But I'm just saying, wouldn't you rather bite down on that rubber thing and live to, you know, live another day?
I'm an American soldier. I don't bite down on anything. I fight for what's right. And that's the way most Americans are.
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand that kind of thinking. Yeah,
well, Brass, you know what? Second generation American.
That's the kind of thinking that made us free.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Let's move on to Jonathan in Mobile, Alabama. Jonathan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Enjoyed the show.
And all that other.
Listen, the gentleman that's on here, you know, trying to shove this down the American people's throat is a travesty right there. You know, as a soldier and a patriot and an American right there, whether you're a first generation or a 10th generation American, you need to be proud of America. America has rights and freedoms right there. And this is wrong no matter how you look at it. And if you're proud about being in jail, then you know what? That's wrong, because you know what? You need to go back and try to, if you're out of jail, congratulations, but you need to go back and try to fix your community. To sit there and try to promote jail is a wrong thing.
I'm not promoting jail.
The children
I'm just saying
of America
being able to,
and the soldiers of America
to fight
right
on the
there,
rubber thing
they promote
for electroshock.
Freedom. We promote freedom. And you're talking about movies and everything like that. This is wrong.
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen the electroshock thing?
It doesn't
what do you mean the rubber thing?
A Muslim or a Christian or a Jew. This is wrong. There were 3,000
people. Have you ever seen electroshock? No, you haven't. And in one flew over the cuckoo's
nest, I'm proud of that right there. And if you're going
through
an electroshock right there, then it sounds like there's a psychosomatic problem with you. To sit there and say that America needs to bite the bullet, you're wrong, sir. Americans are free and proud people right there. And if you're an American, you need to stand up for something instead of being
I'm just talking about
like
biting down on the rubber thing that they put in your mouth.
Are
the
you
rubber
proud
thing
about
they put
being
in, your
in
mouth.
Jail, sir? Are you proud about
no,
being
I'm not.
In jail?
I'm, okay, no, I'm not. No, but I am proud about being able
are
to bite down on the rubber thing.
Are you an American?
I'm,
yes or no?
Well, my parents were born in Mexico.
Yes, you were born here. You're an American.
You need to stand up for freedom,
Sir. I do stand up for freedom, but you still haven't talked about what that rubber thing.
Well, you forget the rubber thing that you have to bite down on for electroshock, man. I don't know what it's called.
Let me tell you what.
It's like they put it in your teeth. I don't know.
Fight and die daily.
Right.
My daughter
yes.
right now is fighting for my country. Okay, my father, my grandfather have fought for this country right here, sir.
That's right.
And if
that's
you're
right,
an American,
that's right.
whether you're first, eighth, or tenth generation American, you need to be proud of the United
okay,
States.
Okay, let me ask you something. Phil Hendry's father was in Canada's army in World War II, not even America. So what do you think of that, Mr. Hendry?
Okay,
hey,
so my old man was in the Canadian army. Whatever. He was fought with the Americans.
That's right.
Yeah, but it wasn't
he was
no American.
For freedom.
He was with the Canadians, the Americans, and the British were all together, and the French and all. Get out of here with the my dad was in the Canadian Army. Hey, listen, I got to take a break, sir. Thank you very much. Good series of calls. Yes, sir, go ahead. One more.
Oh, you're going to let this guy keep talking?
Yes, he wants to say one more thing. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate your show right there, and it's like I promote everybody there who is standing for America.
Well, I just want to let the gentleman know it's not that big of a thing to bite that
up. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show talking here. Brass Villanueva seems to think that it is a point of pride to bite down on the rubber thing, because that's what we're doing if we take that, if we put that mosque in downtown New York. I say we. I mean, it's like New York City, and here we are all over the country debating whether that should be there, because that was something that happened to all of us. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Your dad was in the Canada Army.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Brass Villanueva joining us. And Mr. Villanueva, there's no question in my mind that the people who are weighing in tonight, the opinion is that it is not a smart thing. It's not a strong thing. It doesn't show that we're tough when we stand there and take it.
All right, I asked one of your people to have ready the electroshock sound effect, and instead we actually have the machine here. Now, this is the sound of electroshock machine, and we use this in Los Monos seminars. In our outreach, in our community outreach programs, because we tell people, you know, to be able to take it and to stand up like a man, this is Los Malos. Okay? Okay, Mr. Hendry?
Yeah, fine. What are you going to do?
What am I going to do? I'm going to listen to this. This is the sound of electroshock. Yeah. See, I can take it. See, that's what I'm talking about. You know, for a man to be able to stand before everyone and to say, I can take it. You know,
that's not really. I don't understand that whole demonstration. That was ridiculous.
Why?
You're not really getting electroshock.
What I'm saying to you, and what I'm saying to your listeners, this is how you should take electroshock. In the same manner, this is how the American people should take the Mosque at Ground Zero. Listen. Yeah, I don't care. Get out of here, see? That's, I don't care. And that shows the, I don't know, the word you want to use, like the bitchiness of it all, you know?
All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll take a phone call here, one more here from John. Hello, John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Brass, Phil, and Nueva. Go ahead, please.
How are you doing, sir? I love the show. I'm going to make it short. I think your guest does have an issue with Americans. I believe he's said America. He's denying himself if it's from the United States. And the second question I have, I think he probably got influenced in jail. There are some Muslim groups. If he has any connections to these Muslim groups in jail. Thank you very much.
Well,
do you?
I don't want to say. I think, no, I do not have no influence with no Muslim, but I did see them, and they convinced me that because they were people of color, and I was people of color, they basically said that, yeah, you know, you're black, even though you're Mexican. And
who did? These Muslims?
Right. But they're the ones who told me that to stand up like a man and to take it like a man is to take the electroshock of history. That is what it is to be Los Malos. And so for all of my brothers out there, I don't care. It doesn't hurt.
And that's what you guys do. You don't get electroshock. You pretend.
Well, yeah, you know, because I'm going to get real electroshock? No way. I'm out of jail now. I give myself electroshock. They put me back in jail. Probably put me in, like, a Tascadero, but... Anyway, thank you for having me on, Mr. Henry.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Just get out of here, man. The Craigslist killer. He wrote his ex-fiancée's name in blood on his jail cell before taking his own life. The Phil Hendry Show. I'm glad he took his own life.
We'll be back.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's not at all surprising. Their image is all important.
Well, she didn't have for someone who is just.
This is the best that we can do in America. This is what we want to focus on.
At some point, it appears to be so frustrating. The mom may have yelled,
"Darn, I brilliant!
You blew it!"
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Our 20th year. 20th year doing what people after 20 years still can't do. Except for us, taking you through the looking glass, right into the teeth, into the jaws of truth. Ah, whatever. Mostly about just a couple of laughs. We'll tell you about an old Medicare scam in Florida that's still working. Plus, teachers are warned not to friend their students on Facebook. Well, how about that? Now, did you know that, teachers? You shouldn't friend your kids on your students on Facebook because they're underage?
Why not? But you think they're going to molest them.
No, you just don't do it. Bud Dickman here with Robert Leonard, by the way. You don't friend your students because they're underage.
Yeah, but I mean, if they're your teacher, that's different from like a pervert.
Oh, it is, huh? Really?
What are you saying?
Really? A teacher friending a student's different from a pervert? How do you know, man? What I'm telling you is this. If they're kids, that means they are under the control of their parents. And if you want to friend somebody on Facebook, friend the parent. And then say, you know, I've been getting the permission of parents to friend the kids so that we can communicate when it has to do with homework, when it has to do with other things, and I'd like to get your permission. Can I friend Timmy or Susie or whoever?
Well, they could still want to have a perversion.
No, I don't think so, because then they'd know that the parents know that they're friends with their kid, and the parents may be, like, looking at the kid's computer or something.
Yeah, well, but Don't you think that we're being more suspicious of people bad? Because if they're going to friend a kid, oh, I see, you think she's going to have sex with it.
Yeah, what do you mean she, he? How about that? Yes, I think that, no, I don't think any of that. I'm saying just be careful. All right, now, I don't want to get wrapped up too much in this conversation that already I'm being sidetracked on, so let's just move on here.
Talk about that guy, the guy that killed himself.
That's what I'm going to do. It's the Craigslist killer. Craigslist killer suspect wrote ex-fiancé's name in cell in blood. The former medical student accused of killing a masseuse he met through Craigslist scrawled the name of his former fiancé on the wall of his cell, apparently in blood, before committing suicide, authorities said on Tuesday. That's right. Philip Markoff is this guy's name, and he spelled the name Megan. He wrote the name Megan and the word pocket. They were found written above the door in Philip Markoff's cell at the Nashua Street Jail in Boston, where he was found unresponsive on Sunday morning. Suffolk District Attorney Daniel Conley made this announcement. He said investigators were still trying to determine the meaning of the word pocket. Markoff used a pen and a piece of metal to fashion a primitive scalpel and used it to inflict several wounds in his neck, arms, wrists, and ankles. Oh, he's a medical student, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you know about doing that?
He was a medical student. So he had some anatomy, and he knew enough to know where all that all of those things were. Anyway, in his neck and his arms, his wrists and his ankles, striking his veins and his carotid artery, which is in the neck, and then covered his head and feet with plastic bags that were available to inmates. Preliminary autopsy results show the air loss and blood loss combined to kill him. Criminologist James Allen Fox was talking to a television station, local TV, WCVB in Boston, and he explains why Markoff, who he labels a narcissist and a sociopath, why would a narcissist and a sociopath, guys that love themselves, guys that think they're the most important thing that ever walked the face of the earth, why would they kill themselves?
It's not at all surprising. Their image is all important. And once that image becomes the disgraced image he would have in court, that's just something, that's a fate that's worse than death.
Paul LaRosa authored a book on Markoff titled 7 Days of Rage, and he describes the killer as having a dark side. Well, no kidding. In an interview with CBS.
On one hand, he was the perfect medical student, a guy engaged to a beautiful woman. On the other hand, he had a deviant sexual life where he joined a lot of alternative lifestyle websites. I know that he had tried to kill himself twice in the past. It's still shocking when somebody goes through with it.
Morgan Houston is a college friend of Markoff's, and he, she, it reacts. I don't know, is the name Morgan a girl's name? Or
I think it's like a girl.
All right. She reacts to the suicide here for CBS News.
I mean, I was really surprised to see it, even though he tried it before in the past. I had just assumed that it was behind him. I had mixed emotions about the whole thing. At one point, he was a friend, and I hadn't, at the time when I knew him, I didn't really see any tendencies towards this.
Well, that no wonder he killed himself, too.
Yeah.
Why?
Because on of that. And there he went and killed himself. I wouldn't want to live past 3 a.m.
You're telling me you think she's the one?
Well, you listen to her voice, man. So I knew he was going to kill himself.
Yeah. Sounds like a ditz.
That ain't the reason why he killed himself, that chick. You Fruit Loop. He killed himself just for what that doctor said. The guy's so in love with himself, and suddenly he's being paraded in front of the country for what he is. Are you telling me they hadn't convicted this guy yet? I thought he had already had the trial, or they'd already had the arraignment. Anyway, he used this pen and this piece of metal to fashion this primitive scalpel, and he went to work on himself, and the next thing you know, the Commonwealth of Massachusetts had saved a whole lot of money. While his death robbed the family of Julissa Brisman of New York City of the chance for justice because Markoff won't go to trial, you know, that's a very cute thing to say there, Lyle Morgan of Associated Press. Maybe it gave them the justice that they absolutely needed. Maybe if this cat was found guilty, he'd be sitting on death row for I don't know how long. Like, you could almost figure the guy'd be on death row so long, you'd think he was in California. Preliminary autopsy reports show the air loss, the blood loss killed this guy. Surveillance video shows Markoff was alone in his cell when he turned out the light at 1:59 a.m. on Sunday morning and was discovered dead 8 hours later. He said, when I say he, whoever the hell it is that's talking here, Mr. Conley, Daniel Conley, the assistant DA, he said that no one entered Markoff's cell during the interval.
Toxicology tests are still being conducted to determine if Markov took any drugs. Conley said he does not know why Markov was not on a suicide watch, but authorities are considering that question as part of their investigation.
Yeah, well, they're on a suicide watch because the guy said that he's a narcissistic, you know?
Yeah, but you just heard that other guy. I don't know, man. Why put him on a suicide watch?
Yeah, let the guy kill himself so they don't want him to kill himself, you know?
See, here's the thing. The only, of course you want to put him on a suicide watch. You want to make sure the guy doesn't kill himself. You want to put him on trial. All of those things are well and good. Who knows? He might have copped to something in the trial. Like, maybe there's more than just him operating. Maybe he's with this group of killers. I doubt it. But let's not spill, I ain't squirting that many tears for this thing.
No, I don't care.
Anyway, he said surveillance video at the jail does not extend inside the cells but covers half hallways. He questioned that guards have any duty and obligation to wake up inmates during routine observances. Markov, age 24, was taken into custody during a traffic stop as he and his then-fiancée, Megan McAllister, were driving to Foxwoods Resort Casino in Connecticut last year, 6 days after Brisman's death. Authorities say he'd lured Brisman to a hotel and botched a robber to support a gambling habit. Authorities also charged Markov in the armed robbery of a Las Vegas woman and the assault of a stripper inside of a Rhode Island hotel. So he hadn't been to trial yet. And so he had not obviously been adjudicated guilty, and we will never know, I guess.
Yeah, so they got to go look. Maybe they better keep looking, huh?
Keep looking for what?
No, man, I got the right guy.
They don't. What if they don't? What if the wrong guy killed himself?
But all you can do is go on what the evidence is. If the cops think that's the guy, okay.
But what if he's not?
Well, you don't hit the microphone, okay?
What if he ain't?
What if he ain't? All of a sudden, you're figuring, what if he ain't? Why? Because he killed himself?
Yeah, because if he killed himself, and maybe there's a real guy out there, I don't know, man. There's something about it doesn't add up. I'm looking at it, I'm looking at it, I'm looking at it. And then...
Yeah, well, quit looking at it, man.
What?
All you're looking at the floor.
Yeah, quit looking at the floor. Look up here.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. I'm looking at it and looking at it. I don't know, but the fact of the matter is, the cops investigated. They assembled all the evidence. They got all the statements. They got all the witnesses. And guess what? That's the guy right there. That's the guy they liked. Hialeah, Florida, a pair of Hialeah companies were fraudulently billing Medicare for penis pumps at $395 a pop to supposedly help male patients combat impotence. So they were selling these penis pumps, and Medicare was paying on it. All right, we'll be back with that story and more. We also have Harvey Wireman joining us, right, Robert?
Yeah, he's coming up with Senior Talk.
We have Harvey Wireman with Senior Talk coming up. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Who serves the best burgers? We got the Zagat survey.
Bill Henry Show.
And we're on, right?
Yeah.
My name is Harvey Wireman, and welcome here. The Phil Henry Show presents... Get it off of me, will you? The Phil Henry Show presents Senior Talk here. And I'm Harvey Wireman. I'm 81 years of age, but I can tell you that... I want to be very clear about it, too. There's not a depravity that I haven't witnessed. There isn't a... But I fought with the United States Marine Corps in the North Pacific, and I've been an attorney, and I retired... about 20 to 15 years ago. Wait a minute, what... And let's go. All right, I got some things on the Senior Talk here. Look at it. What's this penis pump? I don't understand.
Did you want to talk about that?
Why? Don't put it in front of my face, though. Mr. Henry put a story in front of my face. Don't stick that in front of my... Don't ever put a story about penis pumps in front of my face like that.
You told me you wanted to talk about that.
I did want to talk about it. I don't want you to shove it up into my face. I don't like something about it that bothers me. And by the way, this is the music here of... is it Benny Miller, right?
Benny Miller? You mean Glenn Miller?
Don't you laugh at me when you look...
It's Glenn Miller.
Well, who was Benny Miller?
Benny Goodman?
No, I don't know. This is Ben Miller. No, okay, it's Glenn Miller, right? All right, so the story that we were left with here a moment ago by... And I just in our... In the way that we do it and have everything I want to be. We only do senior talk for about 15 minutes because it's really all the energy that... I don't have any more energy for it. And Hal, I got to get my friend. Hal, hey, full First Division Marine. How you doing?
I tell you, I'm doing a lot better than General Custer.
That's Hal. So what do you think about this guy that killed himself up there? They called him what do you call it?
Well, they call him a sociopath, you know. And
that's it, a sociopath. What do you think?
A guy like that, I don't care. And I wouldn't care, and you know how I feel. Kill him and be done with it.
I think so, too. I've never had a problem with that. But now what this guy, he apparently killed himself after he wrote the name in blood.
Well, you know, that reminds me of, did you ever hear about the Tate?
Oh, yeah. The Sharon Tate?
Yeah, and that was Manson, too.
I want to get a... Is that Clarissa? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. But you stole my thunder because Charles Manson...
Yeah, that was it.
Charles Manson wrote The Blood.
All right, well...
And as far as I know, and as far as anyone has been able to say, The Blood, that's the first time, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's the first time that they wrote it in blood.
I don't remember anybody writing. I saw some, when I was in the war, the Japanese would write things, you know.
Well, you know, there was all that squiggly-looking stuff.
It was all squiggles, yeah, you couldn't. And sometimes they did it to scare you. Okay, Clarissa, Mary, I don't know, what is your name again?
This is Betty.
Oh, Betty, all right.
You've known me for 20 years, but that's all right, I'm used to it.
Okay, well, I don't think you want to stay on for the next story here, do you?
Is it?
Well, it's the penis pumps.
Okay, here's a scam here, if ever I saw it.
Well, I don't know.
Well, hold on. A Hialeah business company, and somebody sold a penis.
They sold a penis?
No, they sold a penis pump, and they pumped a guy. What they do is they put it on, and then they pump the air, and supposedly that elongates or otherwise turns it into... I don't know. I can't even imagine a hell, the kind of a hell that would be. Can you?
Well, no. Now, look, here's what you do.
I've used one of those before, not me.
I was going to say.
But I know what they do. And you put it over him.
Yeah, okay.
All right. So, I didn't hear what she said.
Well, she didn't say anything. You there? Okay.
You know, she faints. And that's probably what happened. Medicare paid. Are you there? Yeah, she's gone. Medicare paid the two medical... Medicare paid the company, the guys that make these pumps, they gave them $28,000 for a penis pump. And I can tell you, I've never heard of any such thing in my life. And to my way of thinking, you know, it's not the... What is that?
Got to go to a commercial.
I got to do what?
Give out the phone number.
Oh. The Harvey Wehrman Senior Talk. And Hal has joined me here, and I don't know what happened to the other lady. 877-876. I'm using the Phil number.
Hey, what about the other, that fag?
You can't say that word anymore, okay?
All right, the queer.
Yeah, you can't say that other word, so let's not say that other word, but... There's a queer that was, I think you can say that, can't you?
I think, yeah.
Well, he was flying in an airplane, and he suddenly he opened the door, and he jumped out. And
why?
I don't know, but maybe he thought he knew how to fly, you know. So this guy, he's in the area, he jumps out. And he jumped out of the airplane because the people had made him, had pissed him off or something.
Well, I heard that what happened was he got bumped on the head.
He got bumped on the head, all right.
And then he jumped out of the plane, huh?
He jumped out of the plane. And I think that the... What? It was on the ground. Well, he said that the guy's telling me now, Phil Henry's telling me it was on the ground.
Who was? Well, I bet the queer got on the ground, didn't he?
No, did the queer... Okay. What happened was is he jumped out of the plane while it was parked on the ground.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hey, don't forget, next week we're going to have a essay contest. And the best excuse that you use so that you don't have to see any member of your family, especially your grandkids, will win a golf vacation at Hallandale. And I don't know where that is, but I think it's probably in a desert or something, wouldn't it be?
Well, that would stand to reason, yeah.
All right, so you'll get a golf package for two. The best essay on how you avoid contact with any member of your family, especially your grandkids, because you know that your kids are going to stick you with them, and they're going to say, oh, it wouldn't be great for you to babysit them, and you'd rather take your eyes out with a grapefruit spoon.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, it'll be a lot of fun to get the essays, that's for sure. All right, we're going to go through one more piece of news. Now it's our lightning round, and let's go. And what am I? Now here's the lightning round. The lightning round is, I'll say a word, and the first thing that comes into your mind, all right? And we'll start with you, Hal, and the word is peach.
Carrot.
All right, carrot. Betty, are you conscious?
I just got up.
All right. Now, he said carrot. How long did it take?
3 seconds.
All right, 3 seconds. Well, let's do it again. First thing that comes into your mind. Okay, Hal?
Right.
All right. Peach.
Licorice.
Okay. Betty.
How about cheap?
All right. What's the first thing that comes into your mind after I say Jeep?
Pinochle.
Okay.
Hal wins.
All right. I knew that Hal would win. Great, Hal. You won.
I think I was faster than her.
You were faster. That's right. Well, this has been Senior Talk, and got to go. Okay. Well, I don't give a sweet Jesus. Get out of here. On the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. It's the Phil Henry Show.
That's good, Harvey. Go ahead. Yeah.
Let's go over here. Can I get it?
No, I don't know if he can find the penis pump on. What does he want?
I'll help you out, Mr. Wyman.
Thanks, kid.
All right, welcome back. 877-876-PHIL. Yeah, good job, man. Best chains, fast foods, according to the Zagat survey, and we're going to combine this with a story here called Truly Disgusting Novelty Sandwich Foods, written by Kim Conti of the Star blog, along with Jason Rance and our newser.com sources. Well, we'll just see whether or not these are truly disgusting or whether or not they're things that I happen to like myself. And I don't care what anybody thinks. First off, each day brings yet another calorie-busting novelty sandwich threatening to derail our diets and send our blood sugar into a tizzy. Here's the latest. Denny's new fried cheese melt, which is 4 fried mozzarella sticks with melted American cheese grilled between 2 slices of sourdough bread. Yep, that's death. You're going to die. Good God.
You know what they're doing, man? All they're doing is take the tastiest thing they can find and, like, fry it, you know?
Yeah, you just take the bestest thing you got, you can fry it up, it tastes good.
Got a lot of butter.
Oh, that's great, man. I can do that right now, going to the kitchen right now.
Don't you?
What do you mean, don't I?
You know, I'll take something and fry it up, man.
I ain't fry. That's the whole thing. Wow, what can I eat that's fried? What can I do? How can I fry something? And how can I fry more fat than ever before? That is the, and I shouldn't say it's the Denny's formula, but I ain't seen anybody else mentioned here. So yeah, it's the Denny's formula. Let's take some cheese, let's take sourdough bread, let's take a lot of butter, and let's just get fat. All right, anyway. The sandwich is one of five new additions to Denny's value menu. $4 is the price to pay for a whopping 895 calories. Yes, Denny's new How Do You Want to Go Out Feet First menu. How does this stack up to other novelty sandwiches? Well, comparatively speaking, KFC's Double Down is actually healthier than the fried cheese melt. The infamous bunless sandwich weighs in at 540 calories. Bunless. The lasagna sandwich. Lasagna sandwich.
Man, that's begging for it.
The lasagna sandwich. That nothing says, boy, nothing says I'm throwing caution to the wind like the lasagna sandwich. It'll set you back 565 calories. Well, see, compared to that Denny's cheese horror, that there's nothing here, man, because that Denny's thing is 895 calories. The other two are under 600.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that makes it all right, huh?
No, it doesn't make it all right. I'm just saying they're way under this other thing. The lasagna sandwich, Jesus, will set you back. You know how they came up with the lasagna sandwich? Some guy went into the refrigerator one night and he saw a tin. He saw one of those baking trays of lasagna.
Yeah.
And he looked at it. And it had cooled down from dinner, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and he reached in with his big, fat, greasy hand and just like, ugh.
Oh, God, are you kidding, man?
I'll bet you anything.
Yeah, man, you probably think of that because you've done that.
Maybe I have.
So now we know.
Man, you're kidding.
Maybe I have.
Now we know.
Oh, wow, big revelation, huh?
Now we know. That you stuck your hand in there and you put your hand in it. Man.
Don't say I put my hand in it. Say what it was.
Yeah, well, everybody know. You went in the middle of the night. In the middle of the night, man, everybody asleep. And you went down to the lasagna tray.
Lasagna?
And you reached in and pulled that thing up.
You did. And now we know that you put your hand down in there and you probably licked it, too.
You know, Bud, I know that you're doing double entendre, and it doesn't bother me at all, okay? Because I know that people will be on my side when they hear this story. Not yours, mine.
Why not?
Because you're being filthy. Stuck my hand in it and licked it.
They know what I mean. You put it in lasagna, like he said.
Lasagna. I'm telling you, that's how they came up with that lasagna sandwich. Some guy just reached right in and said, this will make a great sandwich. And
all right, so what'd he do? Then make a lasagna and then cool it down and say, here, take that, eat it with your hand?
I don't know, man. Maybe they took that whole lasagna thing and put it between two pieces, I got it, of buttered sourdough bread grilled. Wow, the lasagna sandwich. The sandwich consists of, here it is, two thick slices of bread, what did I tell you, filled with a filling of diced beef in a tomato and herb sauce, layered with cooked pasta sheets and a creamy cheddar ricotta and mayonnaise. You just ruined it. Carl's Jr.'s foot-long, yeah, I'll bet, cheeseburger.
they can't do that, can they?
Do what?
The foot-long cheeseburger.
Why not?
It just, I don't know.
What do you mean they can't do that? What is that supposed to mean?
I just think it's suggestible.
Only to you, man.
What are you talking about suggestible, man? They can do anything they want. It ain't like it's porn.
Well.
Oh, come on, bud. Carl's Jr.'s foot-long cheeseburger, 850 calories, and at 850 calories, it's just 45 calories behind Denny's fried cheese melt. So shove that in your bun.
All right.
Never mind. So anyway, Carl's Jr.'s foot-long cheeseburger, it comes the closest to the fried cheese melt, but these sandwiches are nothing compared to Friendly's grilled cheese burger melt, which is an astonishing, get a load of this. You want to know how many calories it is? Take a wild guess.
What was the one with the biggest?
The biggest one was this Denny's fried cheese melt, 895 calories.
And this is bigger than that?
This is bigger than that.
Oh, you're going to say way bigger, wasn't you?
I'm not going to tell you anything.
Dodio, I got to guess how much, huh?
Yeah. How many calories do you think Friendly's, what the hell is Friendly's? Is that a chain?
I think I like a chain or something.
Friendly's grilled cheese burger melt, which is an astounding, any guesses?
Like 10 million or I don't know.
10 million? 1,500 calories.
That ain't that much.
It's almost twice. Get out of here. It ain't that much, man. It's almost twice the other one. 1,500 calories. It's a cheeseburger, only instead of the bun, it's sandwiched between two grilled cheese sandwiches. Man, that just makes me laugh. Good God. Friendly's is an Eastern U.S. chain, so they got a bunch of stores back there. So, listen, it's a cheeseburger, but instead of two buns, okay, so you'd have a cheeseburger, right?
Yeah.
There's the cheeseburger, and what are the buns? Two grilled cheese sandwiches.
So there's cheese.
It ain't that there's cheese, man. It's that there's two freaking... Oh, anyway. You know, one of the things, and I don't mean to say, you know, I don't want to talk out of school, but all this stuff, all these East Coast chains, they're in a West Coast chain that comes up with this stuff. It isn't because people on the West Coast are cool. I'm not talking about that. It isn't because we're better. It's obviously the health food movement is way more entrenched out here. And so if you get anything that's really calorie rich out here, yeah, we got burgers, but we've got pretty much a standard burger. And we have Mexican food. Mexican food, which is so good, it'll bring tears to your eyes. I love Mexican food. Who doesn't? That's got a lot of calories, but we don't have these inventions like they have this Friendly's because back east is back east, and they're always going to eat that way. I bet you they got cats that are jogging, lifting weights. They're all kinds of people that are health freaks, but they're still going to be eating a big fat sandwich loaded with fat, cheese, you know, and that's just the way it's going to be.
They're going to have the biggest people, too.
I don't know about whether they have the biggest people or not, man. But and the other thing is, it's cold back there, I guess.
Oh, right, man. I got to lay on the fat, man, because it's cold. That's bullcrap, man. That's giving people too many excuses. I don't need to do that.
I'm not giving them any excuses. I'm coming up with the reason why I think they eat that way. Giving them excuses.
Yeah, well, you got to say, ooh, it's cold. Better go have a double cheap, like a cheese. What is it called?
Get out of here, man. God, learn how to talk, will you?
It's a double cheeseburger.
Double cheeseburger, sure. It's called the Friendly's Grilled Cheeseburger Melt. You eat that and you won't be able to breathe. Do you know that you won't be able to breathe after that? Yes, I do. But you still want to eat it? Yes, I do. Are you enjoying yourself? Yup. Best chains, fast food, according to Zagat survey. This is the one that Robert wanted me to read, right?
Yeah, I want to know the number one burger.
Well, this isn't going to tell you necessarily what the best tasting burger is. This is Zagat. They usually focus in on consumer-generated surveys on fine dining. They took a look at chain restaurants, both for fast food and full service, in their latest survey released on yesterday, Tuesday. Zagat looked at 97 fast food chains and 39 full service chains with survey results from 6,518 Zagat.com diners who eat at chains an average of 10.7 times per month. Did you get that?
No.
Good. Neither did I, and I don't care. The respondents rated each chain on the quality of its food, facilities, and service using Zagat's signature 30-point scale. The survey results divided the chains into four categories: large, up to 5,000 U.S. outlets; mega, over 5,000 outlets; full service and quick refreshment, focusing on beverages, ice cream, and the like. That would be quick refreshment, like, I don't know.
That'd probably be like a Dairy Queen, you know, a fat freeze or something like that.
Yeah, if they're like the fat freeze.
There ain't no fat freeze, man. You mean Fosty? What is it called?
Foswick freeze.
Foswick fast tasty freeze.
No, it starts with an F.
Well, how could it start with an F, man? It's tasty freeze. There's Dairy Queen. What starts with an F?
Fast freeze.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. There ain't no fast freeze. The survey was, anyway, for complete result, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, here are some of the highlights. Best overall mega chain food, Wendy's. Yeah, sure.
Wendy's?
Wendy's. Nice going, Zagat. What does that mean, man? What do you mean, Wendy's, best overall? How can that be? Are you talking about the menu, the selection?
Dude, talk about, like, your food don't even taste all that good.
Best French fries, best breakfast value, and child friendliness, McDonald's. All right, I'll give you that. Best burger, Five Guys.
Man, I know that In-N-Out burger.
I can't say it ain't. You could say In-N-Out because In-N-Out's a West Coast thing. But Five Guys, man, the way people talk about Five Guys, you know.
There'd be like Five Guys. Bet your burger's big as a Five Guy or Five. You would think they call it Five Guys because like you'd be Five Guys to eat one or something like that.
Yeah, that's it, bud. Sure. God, spit that out too.
Yeah, man, what are you trying to say?
I'm saying
let me just finish. You got to be Five Guys to eat one. Best milkshakes, Dairy Queen. Best milk. You know, I'm going to have to go out this weekend and get a Dairy Queen shake because I don't know whether I believe that or not. Best fried chicken, KFC. Best, what about Popeyes?
I don't say, man.
Popeyes is, you know, it doesn't get much better than Popeyes. Best healthy option, Subway. Best grilled chicken, Chick-fil-A. I don't think we have Chick-fil-A out west. I visited my first Chick-fil-A down in Atlanta, and this was also, here's one here. This is not a West Coast chain either, but they're pretty good. Best fish, Long John Silver's. See, this is also kind of a regional thing. In California, no, we got Red Lobster, never mind.
Yeah, but Red Lobster didn't have for a long time.
They had Red Lobster all the time out here, man. We don't have no Long John Silver. Best salads, Panera Bread. I don't know that place. Best value, McDonald's. Best coffee, Starbucks.
What do you think about that?
I don't know. It's hard for me to say. I have to agree with that. I probably have to agree with the McDonald's being best value. I don't know about best fish because we don't have fish joints. I haven't been to a lot of fish joints. And the best grilled chicken, okay, I guess. Here's one here. Best full-service chain steak, Outback Steakhouse. They're saying, in other words, for a chain steak, Outback. Best full-service chain pasta, Maggiano's. Best full-service chain breakfast that doesn't serve queers, Cracker Barrel. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you call it Cracker Barrel, something like that.
I'm kidding around. Yeah, you're right. I was going to say Cracker Barrel. No, Cracker Barrel. Full service chain, see, Bonefish.
You said they didn't serve gays.
Who?
Bonefish.
No, I did not say that. I said a long time. What I meant to say is a long time ago.
No, you said Bonefish.
I did not say Did I say Bonefish?
No, you didn't say that. You said a long time ago Cracker Barrel didn't serve gays.
I didn't even say that. I used a very bad word, but I was trying to make a joke. But don't piss me off, bud.
Well, then what are you talking about Bonefish?
That's the best full-service seafood restaurant, Bonefish Grill.
I don't know, man. I read a story where Bonefish wouldn't serve gay people, which seemed very weird to me because...
You shut up and get out of here. Full-service chain dessert, the Cheesecake Factory. And finally, full-service coffee... IHOP. What about that, man?
Hey, you ought to go to IHOP, man, and get coffee there.
I haven't been to an IHOP in so long. I might grab some coffee from IHOP because, you know, you don't want to spend $85 a cup. A good cup of coffee, man. Forget about latte, all that jazz. Who makes anybody make a good cup of coffee, like a damn cup of coffee, you know, where you just comes right out of the pot, you know, something like that?
Bonefish Grill.
You really, it's, isn't it?
Yeah. You said they didn't serve gay people.
No, I didn't, bud, but there you are, childish as ever. Bonefish Grill. What a wiener. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil.
What? You said.
We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. An argument over Starbucks gets one New Yorker into trouble. What could that be? Maybe they think the Bonefish Grill has better coffee.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
got a fish man. You know, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. You can watch our live streaming video on demand. We have a 5-day video archive, so if you missed our video show tonight, you can watch our video on demand tomorrow. You can see the last 5 days worth of our video casts. And we've had more and more people requesting, and this is kind of goofy, but people want me to turn into some sort of a podcast, the pre-show.
Yeah, a lot of people like to hear you screaming and yelling, using bad words and everything.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be gratuitous, but I've had a lot of people write and say, would you please, Phil, make those pre-show rants that you do on the video available? So maybe we'll do that. But if you're only listening to the show, and I'm glad that you are, you do miss an hour of the show on our video cast. The pre-show starts at 9 o'clock midnight Eastern. So check that out. Just a little something added for you with a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. So what are you asking me?
I mean, I'm talking about, do you ever in your life ever remember a fish sandwich you like?
On a fast food.
I one time, and I told you guys, I don't know why it is, but I will tell you this, and I say it without any, I'm not ashamed. I used to love, man, I had it every day at lunch, the Burger King Whaler.
What's that?
It's now the BK Fish.
Oh, yeah, but it's a slab. It's like a slab.
What do you mean a slab?
Big ass, and put a slab on it?
Yeah, like a slab in between a bun. They put a slab between a bun.
It's a big thing of fish, yeah.
Yeah, but they slather it.
Yeah.
Slather it with what?
It's a slab and slather, you know?
Are you guys messing with me or something?
No, don't they slather it up?
Slather it up with what? Slather it up with what?
Talk about a tartar sauce.
Yeah, they put the tartar sauce. What do you mean tartar sauce?
That's how you're supposed to say it. Or that's what they are.
But if you're telling me that you think tartar sauce came from the tartar, anyway, the Burger King Whaler, I loved it. Loved it, man. Used to eat it all the time as a kid. Now, you know that when you're young, your immune system takes all of these shots. I mean, we go out into the world and we're young, and suddenly here comes all of this stuff from the atmosphere. And we absorb it, and we combat it, and sometimes we actually have to come down with the disease or the problem to make our immune system stronger. So I ate this Burger King Whaler, and I go home. I was living with my girlfriend at the time in Orlando, Florida. And I break out in this rash. I mean, dude, from head to toe. And I was itching like a maniac.
Yeah, you said what? She's cutting your hair or something?
Yeah, my girlfriend was cutting my hair that night. And I'm like, man, I got to get out of here. You know, she's like, well, what are you doing? I got to get out of here, man. What? I'm itching like a madman. So we get into the car. We go to the emergency room down at Mercy Hospital in Orlando. And the guy gave me, and this is how long ago it was. It was before Benadryl became an over-the-counter drug. It was a prescription drug. I go into the emergency room. The doctor says, did you eat fish? I go, yeah, as a matter of fact, uh-huh. And he just went, wow, just two shots of this Benadryl. Man, I was feeling good, you know.
Did you get high on it and everything?
Well, no, I wouldn't say high.
Stoned?
Yes, I'd say stoned. Anyway, technical direction tonight by Don Naylor. Our screener is Dan Northcraft. And, of course, as always, our show producer is Jason Rantz. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You can reach us every night here. And take a look at our website for all of our marvelous affiliates, great affiliates all over the country, making the Phil Hendry Show in its 20th year still the most groundbreaking show in radio. Thank you and good night.
Paul Harvey Day, or good day, I mean.
I do that.
Phil Hendry.